to Hammer Down on the Market Scale Network. I'm your host, Mike Bush. This episode is coming to you live from Shop Talk Chicago. It's a Shop Talk fall event, and I'm super delighted to be here. Today, we're going to talk to a ton of retail leaders. We're going to hear what about their supply chain has them up at night, what has them worried, what has them feeling groovy, and what Christmas is going to look like. Hope you'll enjoy the show.
A 3PL that does e-commerce fulfillment for all brands, big or small, across the board. We are branching out into a full supply chain and logistics provider as well for our brands. What we really excel at is direct-to-consumer fulfillment as well as B2B and retail fulfillment. Omnichannel, we can help you with Amazon, TikTok, Shopify, all of your sales channels. We really love to bring that together for our merchants and make fulfillment incredibly simple for them.
Okay, so if I've got it right, we all, as consumers, got used to Amazon delivering stuff basically in real time,
exactly,
or pretty close to real time. You're saying you don't have to sell through Amazon. You're making that type of customer experience available for anybody else.
Exactly. And not only do you not have to sell through Amazon, if you want to develop your brand identity, we always encourage that you don't sell through Amazon and really work on creating that identity for your brand.
Okay, gotcha. How did you get into this?
So I've always loved startups. I've only ever worked for startups. And so I got into Shabab about 6 years ago when it was a much smaller company. We only had about 5 to 6 fulfillment centers at the time. We were about 150 person team based here in Chicago. And I just loved the energy of the office the first day I walked in and I saw there was so much work to do. And so 6 years later, we now have about 55 global fulfillment centers with an employee count at around 1,000 people.
Gotcha. What was the idea behind Shabab? Who woke up and said, we're going to go solve this?
It is such a good story. So our co-founders grew up together in India, moved to the States together for college. So we're both software engineers by trade. At night, they were always trying to figure out how to not be software engineers. So they were entrepreneurs. They were starting companies. They ended up starting an e-commerce company and spent all of their days waiting in line at the post office and figured, how are we ever supposed to scale this business if we're spending 2 to 3 hours a day standing here? They met other entrepreneurs who were also doing the same thing, selling through small channels like eBay or Etsy. And they asked them, would you guys pay a premium for us to come pick up your packages and ship them out for you? Everyone said yes. And that's how Shabab was born. So it's a very organic story.
Very cool. So, Marina, one of my favorite questions to ask is, if talking to a new or recent college grad and that kid says, I want to go into supply chain, what's the advice you give on?
I love supply chain. I'll be honest with you. It's not maybe the sexiest industry out there. A lot of people are told that if you pursue your passions, you're going to never work a day in your life. And the reality is, most people have very similar passions. It's art, it's music, it's fashion, it's sports, you know, and so it's incredibly competitive. I don't think anyone as a child dreams of getting into supply chain, but here's what I'll tell you. It is almost recession proof. It proved to be pandemic proof. It is incredibly sustainable. It's not going anywhere. And so I think that work should be something where you enjoy and you feel like you're succeeding. You're feeling fulfilled, pun intended, and you're feeling like you always have a path forward. And I think this is such an incredible industry for that because it's so fluid. It's always evolving and it can really satisfy if you love tech. It's such a tech forward industry. If you love solving problems, this is the industry for you.
Got it. Marina, if somebody wants to reach out, get in touch with you, how do you?
Yeah, I would love that. You can find me on LinkedIn or mgalemis@shipbob.com.
All right. Well, appreciate you.
Thank you.
So ShipXL is a digital shipping platform that manages the end-to-end journey for e-commerce shippers. We do the back end to make it more efficient for people to ship things, as well as make sure we're mitigating risk. Less clicks, less risk, right?
Okay. Now, how you say less clicks, less risk. What risk do you mitigate?
So, for instance, you ever have someone with fat fingers pressing too many buttons and the item gets shipped to the wrong person?
Okay, got it.
We can help with automation roles, right? Okay, that way we can do it. We can also make sure that we're managing how much you pay for your shipping when it goes out. So many people pick the wrong service. We're going to help it so we can automate it to make it more affordable if that's important to you, or we can make it quicker if that's important to you.
All right, so if I've got this right, it's a tech platform that on the backside says, hey, we're going to pick the right course of action for the goods you're shipping. And by that, by right course, we're talking either least expensive or we're talking the on-time exactly when you need it. Is that
right? We can do that. We'll have automation rules that are in place for that. And the cool part about it is that you come with, obviously, consultants like myself, which will help you figure out what that goal is, to help you build those automation rules so that we can actually get you what you need.
And now who are you working with? Who's kind of your typical customer?
We're typically working with, right now, we have a very firm market for the small to medium, and we're continuing to build our brand for the medium to large, which is an amazing space. So we're coming out with all types of APIs and things that can really benefit that medium to large sector.
Okay. And then when you're talking API, you're plugging into, I'm guessing on the back end, what are you plugging into? Warehouse management system?
Exactly.
ERP system, so you know exactly where stuff is.
You got it.
You're smart routing. You're identifying, okay, this good needs to be moved from that warehouse,
exactly,
or that storefront, et cetera.
So we can plug into, I mean, obviously some of our biggest players right now, Magento, BigCommerce, but we can plug into anyone's ERP system. The cool part about where we are right now is we're in this really cool space that we can customize anything and connect to just about anything because we have the team homegrown doing it.
Very cool. Rana, what got you into this?
I just have a passion for handling people's shipping problems.
Okay. Now, how did you discover that passion?
It's weird. So I stumbled upon, you know, just working for FedEx.
Sure.
Okay. It was hilarious. And then I started solving people's problems there. And then I felt like Olivia Pope. And, you know, I just started telling people I'm the Olivia Pope of logistics.
I love that. I love that as a personal brand. That's awesome. Very cool. Very cool. So one of the questions I ask every guest is, if you're talking to a new or recent college grad, I'm thinking about logistics.
Yeah, I've never met that person.
I'm telling you, it's 90% of the industry fell into it, direct quote, or their, you know, their mom, their aunt, their uncle, somebody with their legacy. So almost nobody gets into that person.
Right.
But you're talking to that kid, and he or she says, I'm thinking about logistics.
Right.
What's the advice you give them?
I would tell them to always network, right? And the reason why I say that is because sometimes you cannot solve their problem with the solution you have in hand, but you can always have a friend that can. And having those friends actually helps you to bring more business in later on because they're going to remember that favor you did for them. And I can't tell you how many times I've had to leverage my friendships and my network to solve a problem for someone that I've had in-house, sometimes not even in-house, that has helped solve problems for someone else.
I make the joke, we work in the biggest small industry in the world.
I tell you.
Absolutely. Hey, Robin, if somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they do so?
You can email me, right, at robin.ponton@pb.com, or you can reach out to me on LinkedIn, Robin T. Ponton.
Oh, I appreciate it.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
That's right. Totally easy. You're terrific.
Factory QC, so we do inspections on the ground in the factories in Asia, and we do freight forwarding. So we move the cargo once inspections are done, we move the product to the US.
Okay, so it's basically, if I want to source goods from Asia, I call you guys, you send an inspector to make sure that everything is actually what I'm sourcing.
Exactly.
I'm not breaking any laws, presumably there's a compliance.
Absolutely, we make sure that there's social compliance as well, whether it's environmental compliance or is it labor compliance, we do check for all of that. Again, these are things that customers get to customize and tell us what is it that they really want to. We have obviously much to can pick from, and then we go inspect that merchandise.
Okay, and then once merchandise is good to go, you handle all this.
We get it arranged to be picked up, moved it to a warehouse, consolidated with a whole bunch of other cargo, or is it just their own cargo? We're in a container, bring it to the U.S., clear customs. There's about a gazillion documents you got to fill out. We do all that. It's all digital. We have a nice little platform over there. The customers get to visualize where things are on a map and manage the production and supply chain. And then we get it delivered to your warehouse. So ready for you to sell on your website or retail.
How'd you come up with this idea?
Oh, I've been in the business about 20 years now. Been working freight forwarding part. The big challenge in freight forwarding is data, not so much technology. And getting data digitized is a big challenge. Trade is very fragmented. People tend to work on emails, phone calls, WeChat, WhatsApp. Trying to digitize that is first step before you can meaningfully apply any technology to it. It doesn't have to be AI, even basic technology, you need data in the system. And so that's how we came up with the thought that let's go on inspections, serve as a forcing function to get data into the system. And then you can kind of start applying technology to it to bring efficiencies.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah.
This is so cool. And so like,
thank you.
Like I'm impressed with the approach, right? Like,
yeah.
And I think you hit on a lot of key trends, right?
Yeah.
So when goods come into America, I think I did the math. They go through like 14 sets of hands.
Easily.
Home is disincentivized to share it for me.
Absolutely.
And you're kind of streamlining that whole thing.
Yeah. So you start at the beginning, right? You want to get this information of when and all. So a typical customer of ours would give purchase orders for the rest next 3 months, because you place purchase orders 3 months out because that's how long it takes to make goods. So we're starting to stack at that stage. If you don't get that starting point right, trying to disintermediate this and that 14 nodes is a nightmare. So you start from there. Now you know exactly that these t-shirts and these trousers are in this shipment. Right? You're able to manage it from that point. Makes a lot of difference. And from that point on, it becomes just that much more easier to track the milestones. And more importantly, right, a 1 week delay at the factory is not a 1 week delay in delivery. A 1 week delay at the factory could be a month delay in delivery. So being able to capture that is the most important volatile part of the supply chain. 70% of the supply of products joining the supply chain happens inside a factory. So that's where all the volatility is. Let's solve that. And then the 30% is run in transit.
Sure. Now, you talk about consolidating for containers. Are you doing like consolidating across your customer base in order
to
save them some money?
Yeah. So the typical stats are a third of every container that comes into America comes in empty. Because none of your listeners can tell, I mean, none of the brands out there are going to tell you that I'm placing POs based on what fits in a container. Nobody says I buy 20,000 t-shirts because that's what I can put in a container. That's what the sales forecast says, so that's what you buy. So then when you start thinking about shipping, you're putting a square peg in a round hole. So as a result of that, a third of every container comes in empty. Just that amount of wasted space out there, if you can better utilize that, you're saving money, you're saving carbon, you're making the world a better place.
I love everything you just said. Very cool.
Yeah.
So, Ron, one of the questions I try to ask every guest is, if you're talking to a new or recent college grad, and the kid says, I want to be in logistics.
Yeah.
What's a piece of advice you give them?
Well, you got to be excited about this. This is not meant for lighthearted people. You need to be strong-willed about this. But this is a very, very tangible business. Every mouse click, there's somebody lifting cargo somewhere in the world, or somebody's moving something. So you get a lot of power out of this. You're going to be able to travel, see the world, and believe it or not, you get a bird's eye view of the economy. Because if goods don't come in today, 2 months from now, retail is going to get impacted. So I know where the retail world is going before a lot of the general population does. And that's an incredibly powerful thing. You get to know a lot of information ahead of time, and I find that very empowering.
Awesome. If somebody wants to get in touch with you, how do they do it?
My email is ram@onesilk.com, onesilk.com. Drop me an email.
Awesome.
All right.
And I got to ask you about the cape, man.
All right now. I'm shooting on. That's exactly what it is. Thank you. Thank you for it. Appreciate it.
So what we do is we help make returns delightful for consumers, more profitable for brands, and help save the environment at the same time.
Okay, all of these are good things. Let's break them down. So making returns delightful, what does that mean?
So Amazon has changed the way most consumers expect returns to go. And they want that same experience regardless of where they buy. And what we know to be true is returns are $101 billion problem in the U.S. alone. And when you look at what brands are doing to grow their business, they're growing internationally, usually at 2x rate of what they're growing their domestic business. So where we really come in is we help bring that to light by giving them that Amazon experience, box-free, label-free, printerless, QR code-based returns, where our staff can walk into a Staples, into a Cadillac Fairview Mall, into a Penguin Pickup, and get your return verified immediately. So there's no more for brands, the box of rocks, proverbial, or otherwise the empty box, because we take those items, we SKU match it, and we say, look, this doesn't have any obvious signs of wear, tear, damage. You get your money back before you go back out the door. That's all the consumer really wants, is they want their money back. Or they want to be able to exchange for the right size or a different color. So we enable that for them. And our NPS at our drop-off points is through the roof.
Okay.
And honestly, what I found to be very surprising is 60 to 70% of the time, if you give the consumer the option to drop it off box-free, label-free, or mail it in, 60 to 70% of the time, they will take it box-free, label-free. This is befuddling to me as a Gen Xer that owns two printers.
Sure.
Kids don't own printers anymore.
That's a fair point. Okay, that's a very fair point.
Yes.
Okay, you talked about sustainability as well.
Yes. So what's beautiful about this, and this is where it becomes more profitable for the brands, is that when that happens, you're using the consumer as the first mile carrier, and they're delighted to do it. So you've immediately just shaved off a ton of logistics costs. And then when it gets dropped off, it comes to our hubs. The same if folks want to do just mail-in, it will come to one of our hubs, that same verification process. Is it the right product? Is it follow the brands, return policies, their SOPs? If yes, you're still triggering the refund in about 48 hours. So figure in 2 days transit time, 2 days. You're still getting your money back in 4 days instead of the standard 15 to 30.
Sure.
So, but because we're using the consumer as the first mile carrier and then doing what is essentially a double consolidation for logistics, we'll grab all your goods together and then we'll push it either across the border or back to your domestic warehouse all together. So the second you take out that one-to-one shipping, particularly for cross-border, if you're spending $25 on a DHL return label to return a $75 item,
right,
you've just lost. Your margins just tank.
Right.
So we'll take all those returns together and we'll either FTL, LTL, get those all back to you at the same time, which reduces the transportation by about 40%, which means all that emissions.
Got it.
All that carbon gone.
Okay, love it. Now I'm with it. Okay, working in returns, you talked about the proverbial box of rocks.
Yes.
What's your favorite return story? There's got to be one that you're like, I can't believe so-and-so or somebody tried to get away with this.
My favorite return story is actually about myself. I can't believe I ended up working in reverse logistics, mostly because I am what any AI, if they're looking at like bad actors, my data would probably look like a bad actor.
Okay.
I buy a lot. I also return a lot. Amazon Prime, my best friend was getting married. I bought a ton of dresses on Amazon because I was officiating the wedding.
Okay.
So I took it very seriously. Amazon Prime sent me an email and threatened to kick me out of Prime if I kept returning so many things, which I took great umbrage to. But at the same time, something I say to brands all the time, because there's a lot of to free or not to free with returns anymore. And I feel like a lot of that dialogue has been around. It, basically, they feel validated to be like, yeah, everybody's stopping doing it, right? 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 And it's just because they haven't found a better way. I know if I did not have free returns with Amazon, I would buy nearly as much as I do. And my lifetime value with Amazon is through the roof. So that's really my own returns story. We've definitely heard and seen some weird things.
Sure. So one of my favorite questions to ask people that come on the show is, you're talking to a new or recent college grad, and the kid says, I'm thinking about logistics. What piece of advice would you give?
Oh, spend a lot of time in a warehouse. It all starts there. If you're not on the floor, if you're not seeing how people pick and pack, how they pack out, like none of it will make sense to you. And especially there's so many folks that touch logistics in a software only play that when you start talking about, you know, sorting and Gaylords, they're lost. So it doesn't matter which area you want to go into, but spend time on the floor.
Brittany, if somebody wants to learn more about Return Bear or get in touch, what's the best way to do so?
They can reach us at returnbear.com. You're also welcome to email me personally at Bernadette@returnbear.com. Bonus points if they can spell Bernadette.